Welcome to the Live Limitless podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Gigi Meyer, and we're going to be having a lot of conversations with experts in fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, in general health, but also in things like relationships, family, faith, business, sports, you name it. And we really just want this to be a space where you can learn how to break through all the things holding you back from living to your true potential one by one. It's time to live limitless. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Limitless podcast, everybody. I'm Gigi, your host, and I have another extra special guest today, Coach Lauren Chastang. Welcome back. I'm so happy to chat with you today. It's going to be awesome.
Hello. Hello. I'm excited too.
I feel like before I even started a podcast, remember you and I, whenever we would just get on our calls and like catch up, and I was like, man, we need to like record these for podcasts because our conversations always lead to just like super profound, like great, you know, great stuff. So I'm excited to actually, again, for the second time, get on a podcast with you. Do you remember that?
Yes. We were like, let's just catch up real quick. It doesn't have to take long. And like maybe talk for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Like, let's just catch up for 15 minutes. The next thing I know, it's an hour and a half later. And I'm like, my life has changed. But for those of you who don't know Lauren, well, I call her Elsie, so I'm going to refer to her as Elsie. She was the very first coach that I brought onto my team in July 2020, right? So we're coming up on 2 years.
I know, that's crazy.
It's so crazy. And has become now our head nutrition coach at GFIT. You're a baller. And you and I recorded a podcast back in October, and it was incredible. Like we had such amazing feedback. And again, for those of you who don't know, Elsie's mom, Christy, has been battling brain and breast cancer right now. And I mean, her mom is an absolute beast. I mean, if you met your mom, like no one would know, right? No one would know. And I'm telling you guys, this family is just one of a kind. The way they glorify God in just the midst of something like this is just, you know, amazing. And you give us real insight into your story and just how you guys are managing that as a family in that episode that we recorded back in October. And it was called Beautifully Broken with Lauren Chastang. So if you haven't listened to that yet, you have to go back and listen to that. In fact, if you're listening to this right now, stop right now, go back, listen to it, and then come back to this episode, because you get a really good feel for Elsie and her family and the kind of people she is. Or her and her family are. So it's a must listen. But speaking of Elsie, how's your mom doing?
She's doing good. We got some news back not too long ago that there's progress.
Yes.
In a lot of the areas in her brain and in her lymph nodes. So, but she still has spots here and there, and it's an uphill battle. But you know, it's like we talk about in GFIT, it's not gonna just poof all go away. It's right. About like the small like margins of progress that count so much. So we were super ecstatic to hear about that. And like you said, she's a beast. She just keeps on keeping on, and she's in it to win it. So
that's awesome. And she's like, she's traveling. She has like energy. She's living her best life, which is just so awesome to see.
Oh yeah. She's like, this will not hold me back or y'all back. So
I know
she is awesome.
Awesome. Well, like I said, go back, listen to that episode. It's really awesome. But Elsie, since you and I have been on a podcast together, a lot has happened, right? A lot has happened since October. So let's just catch everyone up to speed. You graduated college, right? You got married and moved into a house with your now husband. What else?
Oh yeah.
I mean, those are big things. Anything else?
Those are the probably two biggest things.
Yeah. You went from college kid to adult like really fast. Like that transition happened so fast, and you're just handling it like a champ. But obviously your wedding was beautiful and so fun, and I was just so honored to be there that day. My favorite part about you was you're wearing tennis shoes with your wedding dress. What kind of shoes were they?
I was wearing these like Vans that had like these floral like kind of wedding looking design on them. I was like, I'm athletic, but like, I'm also like so clumsy. Like I'm the person that's very clumsy. Like it doesn't seem like I have an athletic bone in my body, Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can't walk in heels. Like, I never walk in heels. Like, why would I walk in with heels on my wedding day when I'm not going to fall in front of everyone? So I was like, you know, it's about comfort. No one can see my shoes anyway.
Except for when I
hiked up my dress to walk down the long stairs. And like, I think everyone noticed. They're like, oh my gosh, she's wearing sneakers. The grandparents like don't understand. They're like, what? My grandmother was like, you're wearing tennis shoes? I'm like, it's hip, granny.
Write it down. It's hip. That's awesome. Is that something that you planned for like a long time? Like, where you
I think when I just started, I was like, I either wanted to wear flats or like tennis shoes. I'm like, might as well just get something that I can wear. Like, I wore them the other day at church. And I was like, well, wearing my wedding shoes at church. Has anyone else done that? So I was like, might as well just use the budget out money for the wedding to buy something I'll actually use. So
that's awesome. Me and you, again, I say this all the time, like, me and you are the same person. I got married on a beach, so I didn't have to wear heels. I didn't have to wear shoes in general.
That's awesome.
That's great. I love it. But yeah, your wedding day, again, it was just beautiful. It was so fun, you know, being in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, on a lodge, like, so cool. Was your wedding day everything that you wanted it to be?
Oh yeah. I just wanted complete, like, it was so magical. Just like the day of, like, we started to get ready, and we just had praise and worship music blasting in the surround sound. And you are in the middle of nowhere. Like, you're in God's country. Like, there's like deer out there running around in the fields. And, it was just so peaceful. And, I'm not a stressful person. I wasn't someone who needed like everything to go right, but I just wanted to feel like such peace on that day. And I was just so happy that it did feel that way. It was beautiful weather. And it was just right.
Perfect weather. How many people went? It seemed like a lot of people.
Yeah, I think, so you never can go off the RSVP anymore. Like, I don't think everyone RSVPs. So I think that they said the head count was like 260 to 300 people. So yeah,
I was gonna say about 300 people. Like, there were people standing, like, there was standing room and at your the ceremony.
Yes. And there was 200 chairs, so I'm like, it was over 200 for sure. Yeah, so
for sure. That is awesome, the amount of people that traveled for you, like, your entire team went. That was so cool.
I know. They're awesome.
And then you went to Barbados for your honeymoon, right? What was yes. that like? I've never been there.
It was absolutely so tropical and beautiful. I mean, the water is, again, just something that you look at and you're like, wow.
Right.
God is awesome. Like, you, it takes your breath away how pretty it is. But you know, the downside is like, they're still in like 2019 COVID. So there was a lot of just things that Gunnar and I had gotten out of the routine of just mask everywhere and proving this and vaccination and testing. You had to test before you leave, test before you got there, test when you got there. So like, there was just a lot of that stuff too. So it was just a lot of different perspectives, but awesome. The people there are so nice. We got to hang out with the locals, go surfing. And obviously it's a honeymoon. I think it's like the only time in our lives that we will actually like unplug, not work and have a whole week off and be on vacation. So it was so fun.
That's so true. That's so true. That's awesome. And so how are you and Gunnar holding up living together?
Great. We love it. Like, when I went back home this weekend for the first time since I've been married, like, that was, how was, like, kind of like in like a panicky voice / like curiosity, like, how is the married life? I'm like, honestly, it's great. You live with the person you love and you work together and you have good times and down times and you're just like, this is awesome. Hootie keeps us entertained.
You have Hootie there to keep you guys like occupied, and I love it.
Oh yeah.
I remember how big of adjustment that was though. Like, I'm someone that definitely needs my me time. Like, I love having a place where I can just like escape, you know. And I lived by myself once, just right out of college, and it was like the best thing ever. But there is nothing like having like that person, that partner, you know. But at the same time, you're learning their ways too. And you realize that like your way is not the only way, that they have their ways too. And so you have to learn to like humble yourself and, you know, find that, I guess, that happy medium, you know, that, that keeps you guys balanced. But who between you two, who cooks? You're the cook.
I would say I would cook the most, but, cause I'm like the foodie.
Yeah,
but every Sunday Gunner cooks like all the meats and stuff for us for the week. So,
oh, that's awesome.
He's the grill master and I'm like the sides slash like breakfast maker.
Yeah. And then who cleans?
He actually is a very, like, no offense to my brother, I love you if you listen to this, but like compared to the boy that I grew up with, he's like a very clean man. So that was awesome because I like to work in a clean environment. Like if I'm going to cook something, like it has to be clean first. So I would say I clean the most just because like, it's like my OCD side of me, but, he definitely cleans.
But he keeps up with it.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. I remember Brian, whenever I would go visit his dorm room in college and he was living with three other boys. Oh my gosh, Elsie, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And yes. And so I was like, I knew I was going to have to, you know, help this boy out a little bit. And he's come a long way. Like he's gotten great. But yeah, it was one of those adjustments where I was like, all right, if we're going to make this work.
That's what my mom. So like to me, like I compared to Austin, but like my mom was like, your dad's come a long way since yeah. like, since the beginning. But yeah, I mean, same thing. I visited Gunner in like his like a house with like four other boys. And like, he was always like, he is more clean. Like he was always like embarrassed. He was like, I'm so sorry.
Really?
Like the toilet doesn't work. Like nothing works.
It's like clogged. It's been clogged for 3 days.
Yes. And like the guys are just so funny. They're like the dishes are like piled up in the sink and like they're ready to eat. They just like wipe one off and like eat on the plate. And I'm just like, oh man, a different breed.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why that's a trend that we see, but yeah, I mean, that is a bonus that Gunner was already like a pretty clean person. Cool. Awesome. Well, just to give some people or give people some context, we talked about this a little bit last time, but you played volleyball at Kennesaw State for 5 years. You had a COVID year. You're one of those, yes. those athletes where you had a COVID year and, you were an absolute savage, right? Like leading outside hitter, you break records and stuff. You broke some records. Now's yeah. the time to toot your horn. It's okay.
I know. I'm like, I guess I'm out of it now. Oh gosh. It was amazing. Like I reflect back and I'm like, wow, I never expected that. It was never my intention to break any type of records, but I think I have, the leading kills, serve aces, digs and kills together.
Digs, kills, aces,
points overall. I don't have the most digs, but as a hitter, the combination. So, let's see, like the most points scored. There's quite a few. I don't even know them all.
He told me in the history Coach of Kennesaw State.
Yeah, Coach Keith was like, "You don't even know everything that you've done yet. We're about to have our banquet." But I'm like, "Oh gosh." But yeah,
take all the trophies home.
I remember one of my last interviews there. They were like, "Did you come here and expect to do all this here?" And I was like, "No." No, like I wasn't that kid that was like, I'm gonna break every record I could. I just love the game so much and love competing so much and hard work. Like I just every day, like I just wanted to be better. And that just resulted in some crazy cool things. God used me in some cool ways there.
That is really cool. And obviously breaking records and whatnot, like what type of legacy do you think you left at Kennesaw State?
That's such a good question. I think that, you know, my intentions, again, like reflecting now, you're in such a different perspective once you're out of it. When I was there, I just always wanted to be the best teammate and the best person and the best like leader on the court that I could be. Like if we were in a pickle and everyone's eyes were getting bigger and like we needed someone to depend on, like I wanted everyone to be able to hop on my back and me to be able to carry them. And so I think that came with, you know, trusting the process, showing up every single day, no matter how good or bad of a day you had. And Coach Keith always just preached, like, be a good person. And so I think the best legacy that I feel like I left for people is just hard work goes a long way. I was not the best when I came in. I'm a short outside hitter. I had lots of doubts over me from other people when I was in the recruiting process. And, you know, it's hard to beat someone who works their tail off. So I just think that be a good person and work hard, and it goes a very long way.
That's awesome. Like, hard work goes a long way. And that perfectly kind of leads into what I want to talk about next, was your childhood. I think a lot of where you end up, how you are now, is a result of how you're raised and how you're brought up. And obviously we know your parents are incredible, but tell us a little bit about what your childhood looked like as far as sports and how you were raised and what brought you up to be like this baller that you were in college sports.
My childhood was absolutely dreamy. It was awesome. My parents, if I had a want to do something or I want to try something, they were going to provide or sacrifice me to be able to go try it. Grew up with an older brother, Austin, who I've already mentioned, but he was a big kid from the beginning. And I was the second born, and I was his little brother in his eyes. And we both just played all the sports. I played anything that I could as soon as I could, you know, like as soon as I could hold a bat, I was playing t-ball. Like as soon as I could shoot a basketball, like I was playing upward basketball. So I played 5 sports all the way through high school. So I was playing a little bit of everything. I was good at everything. And I knew that I needed to, my dad always tried to, I love basketball. Mm-hmm. So he was like, always scared that I was going to get hurt in basketball because he knew I want to play volleyball in college once I got older. But my childhood was just, I think that, and some coaches don't like this and some coaches do, like Coach Keith loves people who play multiple sports because mm-hmm. you're a well-rounded athlete at that point. You'll see volleyball players who just play volleyball and you put them to go play basketball and you're like, gosh, you're not an athlete at all. You know, like you're strictly a volleyball player. And I think that helped me to be able to learn a lot of different things about my body, be able to function in awkward situations. Like, but my childhood, my parents just pushed me at, if I ever like said out loud, like, I want to be a college volleyball player. Like they were like, well, you better work your butt off because you're not ready. You know, like they always just helped me. They weren't someone who just patted me on the head and were like, you're awesome. Like you're doing great. Like I never really got that much credit, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say that now. And it's not a bad thing. I remember having some of the best games of my life and my dad would just say, good job, kid. And it's done. And I'm like, good job. Like, are you kidding me? That was the best game of my life. And he would talk about something like another kid or something, but something that always resonated with me. And this carried with me through college a lot is my dad would always just say, you know, there's someone out there that's working harder than you right now. There's someone out there that's better than you right now. And so just never get complacent and never settle. Like you're not the best. You're just not the best. And like, he just constantly humbled the heck out of me to the point where Coach Keith, like even when I was college, he's like, it's okay to admit that you're good. I just never wanted to because I knew that there was someone out there that was better than me. And so I always felt like my ceiling can always get higher and higher, which led me to keep growing and growing. I think once you get complacent, you're dead, you know, you quit growing. So my childhood was awesome in the sense of my parents provided me everything that I needed to continue to get better. I had awesome strength and conditioning coaches, Gavin and Brandon, who I was strength training since like 6th grade. So I just really were surrounded by people who love the Lord and love to push everyone to get better. And I think that it led me to always just continue to want to grow and never settle. And I think that, like, for example, like I played softball and like my parents would make me run after softball because I don't do anything out there in their opinion. Like I had to go work out that morning before softball or do something active afterwards. Yes. Yes. Because they're like, you're just standing out there on shortstop.
Yeah. You touch the ball once.
Yeah. Which I mean, they're right now. It used to make me so mad, but, but like, again, like I spoke out, it's like anything like, hey, you say you want to get a six pack or eat better. You know, we see this all the time in GFIT. Like you got to put your money where your mouth is and, right. and work for it. Like, I can't just tell my dad, I want to go play college volleyball and he's going to make it happen. Like I have to make that happen. And that's what he made very clear early on. If I want something, I have to work for it. So.
Wow. That's awesome. So, I mean, this might be another entire conversation is having like you said, your dad pushed you. He always told you that there's someone out there that's always working harder than you. That's always better than you. Which obviously that motivated you to be incredible at what you do. But at the same time, like, where were you, at what point can you find fulfillment? At what point do you feel good enough? Do you feel like you can give yourself some credit? You know what I mean? Cause if there is a point where, you know, you don't give yourself any credit at all, then what are you doing it for? You know what I mean? So that was probably something really tough for you to manage. Not anything against your dad. Your dad's an incredible person, but he wanted the best for you. And that was his way of pushing you to that point. But how did you manage to like do that without feeling like, man, I'm never good enough. You know what I mean? That's tough.
Yeah. So I think on that point, right? Like that was his big point, is that, you know, there probably are 15-year-olds out there who are playing for the junior national team that are better than me. Sure, Dad. I know. They're also probably 6'4". That's what I used to say. You know, his other huge thing that he would always just ask me after a win, after a loss, it doesn't matter which one, like, did you do the best that you can do? And if I did the best I could do, if we lost, if we won, he's like, he would always tell me, that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. Even if someone's better than me right now, I can't compare myself. And he would make this clear, like, you can't compare yourself to them now. You can work hard, but you can only bring forth what you can do to the best of your ability. And I think it was a mix of both of those that helped me find fulfillment. You know, hey, I did the best I could do today, but I can get better tomorrow. And now my best I can do keeps growing to where like my effort was there. I left my heart out on the court. I didn't leave anything behind. I have no regrets. And that right there is so peaceful, that's all I can ask of myself, because I'm never going to be Stacy or, you know, little Susie. Like, I'm never going to be them. Mm-hmm. It's like the comparison game can also be a really, really big trap. Mm-hmm. But you can bring forth the best that you can do each and every day. And that was always a follow-up question, or the first question. Hey, kid, like, did you do the best you could do out there today? Yes, sir. Great. That's all you can do. I'm so proud of you. Like, that's all you can do. And I'm proud of you. You brought the best that you can do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I watched the final game of your career, and it was at FGCU. And man, as tough as it was to watch, and obviously tears and heartbreak and everything that happened, I was just absolutely blown away by like how well you played, and you legitimate like left it all out on the floor. Do you feel like you left it all out on the floor? Like the final game of your career was where you could answer that question and say, yes, I did everything that I could.
I do. I really do. I think that we were really young that year, and it was going to take a lot of things to go right. Almost seamlessly perfect for us to be able to walk away with the title that year. But you know, reflecting on myself and my career, I loved the girls so much that I got to play with that last year. I felt just so blessed that I got to have an extra year because of COVID and end on that high note. And I think that you would always want to go back and change one or two things, of course. But all in all, like, my effort was never underneath 110%. And I never did not want it for a second. Like, I wanted it with all my heart. And that's where the sting comes from, when you try your hardest and your heart's completely in it. And it happens, but it happens. Like my dad, he would always say, someone has to win, someone has to lose. And it's not always going to be you. And it sucks because, you know, usually I'd use that as motivation to work harder, come back the next year and be able to have a different result. But you know, when that was over, I still just had so much peace over the seasons that I was able to have, the career I had at Kennesaw, the people that I was able to be surrounded by who were absolutely just awesome people. Mm-hmm. And now I get to watch some of my best friends go have their shot at it next year. So it's a different perspective, and but I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that kind of perfectly segues into the bulk of what I want to talk about is, you know, becoming in that official like ex-athlete, right? It's so weird. And so now you're graduated, here we are. And at least for me, because I went through it too, right? At least for me, like it just hit me all at once, right? It's like, bam, practices are over. Film sessions done, workouts, no more, you know, the thing that took up like most of your life, like 20 to 30 hours a week is over. And on top of that, you know, your school is over. You don't have to go to a class anymore and you don't have homework and you don't have to study and exams and, you know, any of that stuff. And it all just comes to a screeching halt. And for a minute, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. Like, thank goodness. Like you almost feel that sense of relief for a minute, but then like reality instantly sets in and it's like, whoa, now what, you know, like now what? And you're just smack dab in the middle of that right now. So just tell us a little bit of how you're managing that. Like, what was your experience when it came to that screeching halt and how you're managing that?
Yeah, I think that it is, it's kind of like undescribable until you go through it, because I had some good friends that were older than me. So Maddie Jones and she would always say just like post-athlete life is hard. And Chrissy Piedemonte, she would just always, she has a hard time watching our game still just because she misses it so much. And I remember just thinking like, man, like I don't know if I'm going to be that way. Like I would love to play volleyball and be a competitive like my whole life, but it's hard to fathom what they were feeling until you go through it. And you too, I heard your story before I actually was an ex-athlete, and man, I mean, y'all are right, like it's so different. You go from being like talked about and you're in the limelight 24/7, there's people taking pictures of you at practice, there's interviews here, like you're going to class and your schedule's pretty packed and you're with people 24/7, like you're living with your best friends and you know, you're on a mission together, and all of a sudden, you know, you all that just stops. You're like the has-been and there's no more. And I think at first, you know, volleyball season ends coming right into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's kind of a big, like you said, a deep breath. You're like, man, I can just enjoy this season with my family. This is awesome. I don't have to worry about tests anymore. Like I did it. I made it to the finish line, which is the ultimate goal for everybody, right? But I remember vividly my first time back in the gym after a season. So going to work out, and my body was pretty beat up after the volleyball season anyway. So I was in there. I used to love the gym. Like I said, I've been working out since sixth grade. So I loved the gym, but I quickly realized I loved it so much because like I had such a drive and a dream to be the best there was of myself, to continue to make myself better, to continue to be a winner. Like I just love winning so much. I'm so competitive that like I worked my butt off so I didn't have to feel the pain of losing. And so when all that stops, I was like, I actually think I had a meltdown in the gym with Gunner. So I was like in pain, but also just like my pride was hurt. I was just like, who am I? Like, why am I in here? Like, I don't know why I like the gym. I think I've always worked. I think I started to realize that I always worked out for my teammates. Like I always worked out for a purpose of my sport. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this in GFIT all the time. Like, what is your why? Like those were my big whys. That was a big reason why I fell in love with working out. And so my meltdown basically consisted of like, I got to find a new reason of why I love this place. Mm-hmm. Right now I don't, because it reminds me of like, what are you working out for? Like, that's what that voice in my head, like kept coming back to say, like, why are you going through this pain? Like, you don't need to, like, you don't have to prove anything to anyone anymore. Like, you don't have to be good anymore if you don't want to, you know? And I think that that's a big struggle that a lot of people chase. And I remember my brother saying this, like, he was like, it was the first year of my life where I didn't work out because like, it was the first, I didn't have to, mm-hmm. you know, I just didn't have to. And, I am not that way.
Yeah.
I quickly had to find a reason that, a different reason why, because it killed me more not to be in the gym than it did, to go and be upset in there. So mm-hmm. I think what sets in is you just go from being in the spotlight with people 24/7 to, all right, go swim out in the big world.
Yeah.
And no one's there to check in with you. Mm-hmm. No one's there to keep you accountable. No one's there to, push you, you know, like you used to work out with girls beside you and no one was going to outlift you because like, again, you're competitive. Mm-hmm. Right. And now you're like, it's okay. Just take mm-hmm. the day off. Like you don't have a game anytime soon. It doesn't matter. And so,
right.
It's a really big adjustment. And lucky for me, I had GFIT as a
right.
job already, which was a huge blessing in my life and in my dream job. So that anxiety was actually something I didn't face, but I know from experience of some of my good friends, like you got to pay your own bills now. Like you're off a scholarship, like, mm-hmm. you have to go find a job. You have to do this and it might not be your dream job, but you got to make some kind of money because you're on your own now. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's a lot. I think it's not talked about enough how it can be mentally very, very hard to make that transition so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I think, you specifically have come from obviously like a really great family and how you've been raised, but you've always had like a really solid foundation of how you live your life and your clarity and purpose, especially when you were in college, right? With your sport, with volleyball. So I want to back it up a little bit. So, you know, ever since I've met you, I've had mad respect for you. I've admired you because you're just so strong and disciplined and, you're extremely active, right? You eat really, really well. And when I first met you, I was like, this girl can coach me, like, heck, you know what I mean? But you're a foodie, you have your treats. So you're not some sort of psycho, right? But you don't drink a ton, you know, and you weren't like a typical college kid running around being reckless and, you know, you're more mature than that. What would you say was your motive to like cultivate this type of lifestyle that you've established in yourself, like as a college athlete, that I think is obviously going to, since it is your foundation, is going to carry with you into the rest of your life. But you know, a typical college kid where it's like really rare to think long-term, like the actions, the decisions I make now are going to impact me long-term. You've always had such discipline in that and in your actions and how you think long-term and how it impacts you long-term. So what would you say was your motive to cultivate like this type of lifestyle?
I would say that, you know, it goes back to the beginning of how I was raised and those, my dad always talked about character. John Wooden was someone that, I mean, we had like John Wooden's like pyramid hung up in our room and, just character was always just a big, big thing that we talked about. I had great examples in my life. My mom and my dad, they were great examples from almost every aspect, from religiously, like loving the Lord, to morals, to being married. And so my dad didn't drink. He doesn't drink at all. Mm-hmm. My mom will enjoy a glass of wine every now and again, but I would also say she doesn't drink. because I've never witnessed it. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, like I never was exposed to it too much. From a smaller town, your reputation is like, once it's done, like it's done.
Yeah.
And so I was always just had that. They didn't have to like hit me on the wrist and tell me, hey, you shouldn't. I was just naturally like a kid that I just wanted to please them just naturally. I was scared to always get in trouble. So that was something that I never really dabbed too much in, growing up anyways. And so carry that over to college, and it's a whole different scene. You know, you're the freshman again. So your confidence is probably at an all time low. Mm-hmm. So I would say my freshman and sophomore year, not out of a sense of like craving to party or anything like that, but yeah. I did enjoy time with my friends, and I did go out and do things, but I realized really fast that, again, always trying to be better, always wanting to be that person that my teammates can depend on. My life should look different. John Wooden, going back to him, you know, you're a student first, you're an athlete second, and social life is fine. But if you put social life in front of either of those, you don't get student or the athlete anymore. Mm. You lose both of those. And so I just think that from a standpoint of drinking and the late nights that it can come, first of all, you don't have any opportunities as a student athlete. It's not like we had a 24-hour rule. So if we had practice or a game, like you couldn't drink within 24 hours of that. So
a game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that, which that's more a fall rule, in the spring, it's a little bit more loose, but with that being said, like, the opportunities are small anyways. And then from a standpoint, when I really started getting nutrition and things like that my sophomore year, I started to learn just how important good food was and how important sleep was. And it just, those lifestyles don't really go parallel, for very long. You can't just be the partier, go out all the time, be a late nighter 24/7. And perform well. It just like, it's almost proven that at one point in time, like one will affect the other. Mm-hmm. And so I think my biggest fear was I didn't want to be that person that people didn't invite or was like, oh, she's not cool. Like she doesn't go out. So I would go and at least participate most of the time, whether that's, hey, I'll drive you guys, or, I wanted to be involved because I have bad FOMO and I'm just like, I do like being a social butterfly. I always get FOMO. So, I always wanted to be a part of things, but at the same time, like I knew my, first of all, the standard that I had for myself, how I wanted to, the reputation that I wanted to withhold, like my heart, like I don't have a desire. Some people really like drinking. I don't, you know, and that's okay if you like drinking, right? Mm-hmm. You just, again, you have to be able to work it in with what you want for your lifestyle or for your results or for your performance, or one's going to affect the other. Right. So I just, especially as I got more older and mature, I just realized, you know, it just wasn't worth it for me. I like my sleep more. I don't enjoy it. So, you know, the older you come, the more confident you get, to just be able to, people started just understanding like, hey, like she doesn't drink, like no need to like try and like persuade her, you know what I'm saying? And so, I think it helped in the long run. I just, to this day, like I don't regret that at all. I think mostly it was the way I was raised, and I was just always super fearful of just doing something wrong. So
yeah, that's awesome. So it's like, you know, we were just talking about how clear purpose is, you know, as a college athlete and just you growing up, like the purpose was clear that you wanted to be a good kid. You wanted to be the best athlete you could be. You wanted to please your parents. You wanted to align with their standards and expectations and your own and fulfill your own expectations and going out and drinking and all these things, like the decisions that you made were a result of like the foundation that you've built as you, you know, you grew up, and that purpose was so clear. And it's easy when the purpose is clear, right? It's like, that's it. Like it, this is exactly what I want. This is what I'm after. And the things that I need to do are going to align with that. And if not, like, I'm going to have to do something about it. But now the struggle is, you know, going from a collegiate athlete where the purpose is so clear, and being a kid of your parents, the purpose is so clear, to now you're no longer a collegiate athlete. And now you're a married woman. Like you're married, which the sacrament of marriage is when you essentially pull away from like your family and become one with your husband. So it's like, you're an adult now, you make your own decisions. Like, and maybe there is a little bit of, not pressure, but intention to like please your parents and make them happy. But like, it still is like the purpose that you once had that was so clear, at least for me, when I became married, when I graduated college, when I wasn't a collegiate athlete anymore, it's like that purpose just doesn't become so clear anymore. Like that clarity fades a little bit, because once you've known for so long, for 22 years of your life is now gone, you know, it's gone. And so it's like the struggle that we're in now, or that you're in now, is like, where can I find that clarity again? Cause lack of clarity is a really scary place to be. And I think it's where a lot of athletes find themselves, in that position where their sport is done. They're now in the real world as an actor, as a, you know, just a regular person, maybe working a regular job. Like, where is that purpose? Where is that, you know, and, you know, lucky for you and I, you know, I had wakeboarding right when I graduated. So I still had a little bit of sport. I still had a little bit of purpose. And for you, like, you're getting involved in CrossFit, right? But for a lot of people, and at least for a lot of my teammates, like volleyball was all they had. And a lot of athletes, like their sport was all they had. And so it's like, now there's a piece of us that's gone. And it's hard not to think like, what's the point now? You know, like, the vision that I had so clear and so set, like it's gone. So what's the point? What's the point of working out? What's the point of being disciplined with food? Like, what, it doesn't matter if I gain a few pounds, like, or if I, you know, drink all the time, like, what's the point of fitness? And for people, you know, in this position, like fitness and eating right and eating healthy and taking care of themselves essentially becomes a chore. And it's like, oh, well, I'm just going to work out because that's what I got to do. Like, I got to do that now. And whereas, like I was saying, being an athlete, that purpose is so clear. It's not a chore. It's like, it's a driving factor in your life to, you know, become the best athlete you can be. I want to freaking win. That's all. That's essentially what the goal is at the end of the day. And it's such a clear, moment when you know you've done that, because you have more points than the other team on the scoreboard, and it's the best feeling ever, right? Like, that is what I'm after. It's so clear, is beating the opponent. And it's up to me and my body's capabilities to do that. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I do that, but that's gone now. You know what I mean? That's gone. And for some people, like I said, that's all they had. For you, like, you're getting involved in CrossFit a little bit. For me, I had wakeboarding. But are you seeing any of that, like, in your old teammates, like in yourself at all?
Yeah, that's so good. Everything you just said was like, man, yeah, preach, because that is exactly like, that's it. You know, I think you and I have talked about this before. You, you know, as a Christian and someone who just gives that glory, wants to give that glory back to God. Like, obviously, like, I'd be nothing without the blessings of God and the gifts of God that He's mm-hmm. given me. And so, you know, you learn growing up all the time, like, don't let your identity be something else that's not God, right? Mm-hmm. So that's hard hearing that all the time. And, you know, the truth is, though, like, my identity was, I'm a volleyball player. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that was my identity, because in my heart was aligned with, like, these are the gifts that God has given me. And it would almost be like a slap in the face to Him to not use those to the best of my ability, not use that talent to bring Him glory through, I don't know, interviews, through being able to talk to somebody and point the finger back at Him, whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard sometimes to admit that, like, your identity was a student athlete, mm-hmm. like, and it was. And so now you're like, okay, God, like, you gave me that, gift for so long. That was a great season of my life. Like, and you're right. You're like, I felt like that was my purpose from you for that season of life. And now what's my purpose? You know, what do you want me to be now? Where am I supposed to go? And
who am I?
Yeah. Who am I? And sit down with, maybe I should just sit down with God and just let him speak to me.
I know.
You know, the truth is that's still there, those gifts. It's fun to look at the Bible in all types of different ways, but you know, for me, right, like going through what my mom and our family's going through, I'm like, this is a season in our life that's like really, really hard. But there, the truth is when we went through it in 2017, obviously that was different, a little bit more clear path we knew, but that season of life that was so hard in 2017 created this huge purpose, like post storm, right? And so we can look at that and be like, everyone goes through a season of something and there's a purpose behind it, right? So right now, outside looking in, I'm like, man, there was a purpose in me being an athlete. Like there was a purpose behind God giving me the opportunity to be able to play at Kennesaw, whether it's the people I met along the way, whether it's the people that I impacted across the net or on the same side of the net, the opportunities that I were able to do because of that. You know, like if I wasn't an athlete, I probably wouldn't work for GFIT. Not because you only hire athletes, but because it created a story for me. You know what I'm saying? It created a food story for me, a nutrition story for me. And so I guess now I'm trying to look at like that season of life, like what it was. It's okay that it's not the same purpose anymore, but it had a purpose to it. Wow. Like my purpose might change now. My identity is not like, hey, I'm Lauren and I play volleyball at Kennesaw State. Yeah. You know, like you always do those interviews, but, hey, I'm Lauren and I'm married. So, and that's all I know right now. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I'm Lauren and I'm the mom of Hootie.
Yes. Yes. That's a good one. I like that identity. So, you know, like, so I think it's what's easy to do is to get out of that season of life and be like, that was, 17 years of my life of working my tail off and now it's over. And now I just mean nothing. I think if you look at it like that, you know, it's pretty depressing and it could lead to anxiety and just a downward spiral, honestly. But if you look at it like, man, I became somebody in those 17, 22 years of my life. And like that groomed me to be able to, I want to still work out with elite athletes. Like that's why I'm going towards a route of still competing and working through CrossFit with that. Like I want to work with people who want to improve their nutrition and health. Like that fulfills me. Like I love my job and working with athletes, ex-athletes, working with non-ex athletes and helping them. So I think that your identity shifts a little bit, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't, it was on purpose and it was going to happen no matter what. My dad used to tell me all the time, don't put all your eggs in the basket for volleyball, football, baseball, whatever it was, me and Austin. He had like more of a path, you know, he used to, I'm going to go play MLB, you know, and now obviously that dream didn't happen, but if he would have put all his eggs in that basket, how let down would you be? You know, how unprepared would you be for the world? My dad used to tell us all the time, ball will come to an end. Like you have to accept that. And you can't chase it your whole life. People like Tom Brady, like, you know, he wants it to come to an end and he has the opportunity. Like it's hard to give up if you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? And, but I feel like it's an identity crisis for Tom Brady. No offense. I love him. Gunner's a huge fan, but like he let it go.
What He's else like, is there? Yeah.
I can't let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that for me, if I didn't have to let it go and my body was fine and I could compete forever and I could have eligibility forever, I probably would, you know, because it's scary letting something like that go, but that change has to happen. And that purpose just changes, just shifts a little bit.
That is such a great point that it's like, although it's maybe not your continued purpose, like after it's done, but there was, it happened for a purpose. And that's such a great point, because I remember thinking like, you know, people who aren't collegiate athletes, they just, they don't see it the way we do, you know, like they don't understand. They were like, so what do you mean you worked for however many years of your life and then it just like came to an end? Like, what was the point? And I maybe even thought that way to an extent myself too. It's like, I just, you know, the moment that my season ended, it's like, what was all that for? What was the freaking point? You know what I mean? And, cause it's like, and I know, a lot of my teammates were just like in that same position. Like, what was the point? I'm really freaking good at volleyball. Now what am I going to do? You know, like that's all I got out of this was just getting really freaking good at volleyball. So where is all this going to lead me? Right. And I just find myself having to remind myself that simply being an athlete has built me to be exactly who I am, like from the inside out, not just outward physically, like I'm a good athlete because of it, but from the inside out, you know, the discipline, the hard work, the focus, the dedication, the toughness, like how we got yelled out by our coaches all the time, like how soft the world is nowadays. People are not tough anymore. Like we got tough from being athletes. Perseverance, you know, learning how to work with a team, humility, like the, you know, winning and stuff like that. Like all the things that I've developed as an athlete over those years have translated into every other aspect of my life and my work, you know, being a leader, being a wife, my relationships, even my hobbies, like are, you know, all of my, everything as an athlete has translated to that. And I couldn't imagine my life without being a collegiate athlete. Right. Yeah. So although I'm not competing, I'm not training for anything right now, but all that has still been, you know, it's been taken with me into everything that I've done. And that's what sets us apart from like everybody else, you know, not very many people get that experience and get that type of, you know, character cultivation through an experience like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're so right. Like, Gunnar talks about this all the time because he's more in like the business world, but like you hear it too when you were a student athlete, like those people, those jobs out there, they want people who have experienced what we've experienced, who have mm-hmm. gone through what they've gone through. They, and not that you can't not be an athlete and get hired, that's not what I'm saying, but the experience, the teamwork, the grit, the willing to continue to persevere until you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, that you can't breed that. Like that's created over the years. That's character. Mm-hmm. That's integrity. Like all that stuff is just something that was instilled with you over the years of working with team to team, feeling mm-hmm. victory after victory, feeling loss after loss. Mm-hmm. So, like everything that you do, like you just said, like, you creating GFIT, like you saying, you know what, like, I want to do something more than just this. You're going to be a lead at everything you do because mm-hmm. you just can't help it. Yeah. Like your standard for yourself is so high. Like you demand to win, like you won't quit until you feel like you have made it. Mm-hmm. And you too, like, you know, I talked about like there's companies out there like that do what we do, but like, we're going to continue to work and be one of those people that make it better for the clients continually, like continue to grow the community. Like it's just like everything that you have done over the years now translates to be, hey, like I'm still elite. Like I still have this drive. I still have these characteristics. I just got to put them in a different bucket now. Mm-hmm. I just got to grow them in different ways. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to say goodbye to all that. You just have to figure out, where you can flex that muscle almost because that's what you crave. Like Gunnar was like, you just want to be and work with elite people because that's what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Right. And that's why I think our team works out so well. It's like, we all get each other so much.
Yeah.
We all help each other all the time. We want what's best for each other. And that's how teams work too.
Right.
Like you'll do anything to help the team win. And so it's a super, everything that the work that you have put in over the years, like minus all the athletic ability and the workouts and the body and the muscle that you've built over the years, like take all that away, the character and the drive, just all the things internally that are so important and more fulfilling than anything on the outside ever could be. Like that's what you can take away, like with your head held high, mm-hmm. and know that there was reason for everything that you put in for years and years.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, I might be biased, but I think athletes are just built different physically and mentally, externally and internally. But for that reason, I think that's really reassuring for anybody that's kind of going through that phase right now where they're like, what was the point of all that? You know, like there's so much reason and purpose to all that, and just watch how it's going to impact like your life now and forever going forward. But obviously, because you and I are ex-athletes, and yeah, most of the girls on our team are ex-athletes as well. We attract a lot of ex-athletes into our ecosystem, into GFIT, right? And you're coaching a bunch of them. You've coached a bunch of them, right? You're coming up on 2 years of coaching. How do you feel like you've been able to help our members who are going through, you know, ex-athletes who are going through this kind of like identity crisis, so to speak, and find purpose in their physicality and their fitness and their health?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of athletes over the last year and a half or more. Mm-hmm. And I think that the biggest thing, like when most of them start or come in, like their goals are set still from the way they used to feel. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like that's a time in your life that you can vividly remember. And it's probably, they believe that they want that so bad because that's probably the last time that they can remember that they were filled, happy, motivated, you know, their best self, jumping their best, performing their best, right? So now that's their belief of what they want their now to look like. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, I just want to feel the way I did when I was playing college volleyball. And that's a big statement that comes in a lot. And the first thing that we like to just go over is, let's just take it back a few steps. Like you have two kids now, you work a job, you have all this other stuff going on. Like your life, you're not putting 40 hours into like we were 30, 40 hours. You're not putting 40 hours into being an athlete anymore. Yeah. So let's go ahead and wash that belief, because it's not going to feel or look exactly like it did when you were a college athlete. Mm-hmm. And so changing that perspective, that reality, helps, because that brings down that expectation. Now we can work on, okay, what did you like about so much when you were, an athlete? I like the accountability. I like always working out. I like the choices I made when I felt like I needed to perform. All those things, GFIT, like, I got you. Like, hey, I'm your teammate now. Like, I'm going to hold you accountable to work out. Hey, I'm your backbone. I'm going to help you learn nutrition and help you learn how to fuel your body again, like you used to when you were an athlete. And so all of that now starts to come back to life, and this light starts to beam to, mm-hmm. where, hey, like I might not be my 20-year-old self who's just throwing weights around and going from practice to practice, but I miss this. They've missed that feeling so much that once they start to get back there, they were like, I just let myself go after college. Mm-hmm. And so it's never too far gone. Like that, mm-hmm. again, that is always in you. Mm-hmm. You just have to find that community or that resource to help you find that again. And it's so fun being in my position, helping someone find that again, because I know what it feels like. And when that starts to happen and they start to feel that again, I mean, it's unmatched. It's like that adrenaline, that game time feeling almost again, where like their confidence is at an all time high again. They love the way they feel. They love the way they look, and it's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. And I think I love it. I think that there's this misunderstanding that the only way that they can get that feeling again of being their best, being their, you know, most fit self, like that feeling that they're after is only going to come from you know, looking exactly how they looked when they were in college, you know, being exactly how they were in college. Like, they're never going to get that feeling again unless they literally are the person they were in college. But I think what I've learned over the you know, the past few years of coaching and just on my own journey is that that feeling, it's just a feeling. It's not It's not like a direct result of the thing that you're getting. It's like, it's just a feeling. Like, the feeling of losing 100 pounds is probably the same exact feeling of losing 10 pounds for someone like you and me and getting a six pack. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's not the destination that's ultimately going to fulfill you. It's that feeling of changing, that feeling of pursuing your potential, of reaching your potential, that feeling of winning is what we're after. And the thing is, the definition of winning is completely different. There's so many definitions of winning, but the problem is, for these ex-athletes, the only association to the word winning that they have right now is seeing a number on the scoreboard that's higher than the opponents. We just have to help these people find that feeling in a new definition of winning. And that feeling can be consistent from, you know, the same type of feeling that they felt when they were in college. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
You know what I'm trying to say? So it's like that,
yeah,
feeling
absolutely
can be the same despite whether you had a six pack in college or lost, you know, 15 pounds in your early 40s with two kids and a full-time job. You know, like, that feeling can be the same. And so there's this misunderstanding that they're never going to get that feeling again. We just have to help them we have to help them, like, change their perception on what that definition of winning is for them, because they can feel that again. You know, I kind of went on a rant and I don't know if I made any sense, but you know what I'm saying?
No, you did. Yeah, for sure. I have two things about that. Like, it kind of goes back to the beginning of what I said about what my dad used to tell me. And I think this resonates in different ways, but, you know, my old self, like, or you fill in the blank, like, your old self in college, like, my old self, like, could make me very insecure, like, my today, very insecure.
Right.
So why? Because, like, maybe I was a little bit leaner, or I was jumping all the time, or again, like, I was performing or this or that. And, like, you could ask me, like, hey, Lauren, like, why do you want to go back to fill in the blank weight? And I could say, because I was performing better, I was jumping better, I was doing that. And this is something you helped me realize when you were coaching me. I was performing better, I was jumping better, I was doing this. And you're like, okay, so, like, why do you want what my perception of that weight, of that feeling that I had at the time, all of a sudden became the belief. Mm-hmm. I created my own belief that, like, that was the only accepting way, because I created a perception of that time in life where I felt like maybe at one point, well, I created that in my head. You know, a lot of people are like, I want to weigh 120 pounds. I'm like, okay, like, why? Because when I weighed 120, I was in college, and, like, I, you know, a lot of boys liked me then and whatever. And I'm like, okay, because of that, your perception of, like, hey, if I get 120 again, people will like me more. I will like myself more. I'll be able to go out and look this way. That belief is what you created about being 120. Like, it had nothing to do with the scale. It was just the time of life that you were in.
Right.
And same thing with being a college athlete. Like, the time of life that you're in when you're a college athlete, like, that is, like, something that is so special. That is 4 years of being so special, but nothing will ever match that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really hold on to that being the standard, because your life can never look that way again.
Right.
It just never will actually be that way again. So you're creating this belief that you'll never be able to hit, and you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel let down. You're going to feel unsatisfied. Instead, right, if you were to make a habit goal or something like that, like, hey, I just want to work out consistently like I did when I was in college, that now can be something that you actually can attain. Now you're going to gain confidence. Now you're going to feel like you're better than you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, like, again, back to the very beginning, like, there's always going to be someone out there that's better than you, right? Mm-hmm. Skinnier than you, fitter than you, whatever you want to say, fill in the blank. But I guarantee your lives are not the same. Maybe they don't have kids. Maybe all they do is fitness. Maybe like, you are working, you have two kids, like, your life's not the same. So for you to put that expectation on you, you're creating this belief that your life can look like that because y'all are the same age, but it's going to be empty, unfulfilled, unsatisfying because it's not the same. You can't match that. So you have to just continue again. That follow-up question my dad would always ask, did I do the best I can do? Yes. I hit my macros today. I drink my water today. I move my body today. I did the best I can do. Even though I didn't get to the gym today, I didn't have time. I did all these other things. I did the best I can do. That's peaceful. That's progress.
Yeah.
And now like you can accept that and feel like you're growing in some sense.
Wow. So good. And so I think when it comes down to, you know, finding that clarity, that for one, I think it's an ever evolving journey. I don't think there will ever reach a point where you're like, I have everything figured out. I can stop trying now. You know, like me and you having this conversation today, we wouldn't have had this conversation 2 years ago because we just weren't that far along in our journey to understand this. Like our conversations 2 years ago were still great, but like we've come such a far way that the only way that we're able to have conversations like this is because we put in the work, like we put in the time to work on ourselves and understand ourselves. And we understand that this is going to be a journey for the rest of our lives. And it's just going to continue to keep getting, you know, stronger and better and, you know, more evolved. So that's one thing is like, this stuff is not going to click for people overnight. You know what I mean? And so as far as finding that clarity, right? Like, cause we talked about how lack of clarity or lack of purpose is a really scary place to be. Always tapping back into your why, and your whys are yours, like individually yours based on your, you know, the things that are most important to your life, how you were raised and all the things like your core foundation, your ultimate identity of who you are is where your whys come from. And so if your goal, like if you're thinking like, man, I won't ever be happy again until I reach 120 pounds, like separate yourself from that concrete, like tangible goal. Like why do you want to be 120 pounds? Like what was the feeling that you were getting when you were 120 pounds and why was that important to you? Like what's your why? Like why do you care about any of that? And that's when you can kind of pick up, you know, a sense of clarity and direction for ultimately why you're after what you're after. Because now when you realize that your why is deeper than just winning in volleyball or getting the best grades in school or whatever it might be, you know, getting a six pack or weighing a certain amount of weight, that's going to be what magnetically pulls you into the direction that you want to go for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to be that purpose that's going to drive you now and forever going forward. You know what I mean? So that's ultimately, I think, what my advice is for people who are like lacking clarity is dig into your why, deep into your why until you found that where it's like, man, that's what I'm after, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it takes some long sitting, like you might think you found your why and just keep asking yourself, keep digging because, you know, I think I found it. And then I realized, I'm like, that's not it. You know, I got to keep going. I got to keep digging deeper because it goes deeper than that. It's not surface. It's not easy to find. So you got to keep just asking yourself until you get to a dead end and you're like, this is it. This is actually it. And I think you'll be pretty surprised at what you find is your why.
Yeah. And then once you reach that point where it's like, it's so clear, it's almost like everything that you're doing, the decisions that you make, the way you live your life becomes automatic, right? I use the example of a mother. When a mother has a baby, right? Like your why becomes so clear. Like you're raising another human life now. And I don't have a baby, so I don't know, you know, personally, but from what I've heard, like your baby is like your true freaking love. Like there is so much love about that baby that like you'll do whatever. You'll go to the ends of the earth for that baby. You'll wake up in the middle of the night. Like you'll sacrifice sleep. You'll sacrifice everything for that baby. And it's automatic. It's not an inconvenience. It's just automatic. You do it because your deep love, like and desire to, in your purpose is so clear that it's like automatic, you know? So yeah. That's something that we talk about often, but And again, it's not going to be something that clicks overnight. It's a journey. And so don't expect it to click overnight. You sit down one day and you're like, what's my why? And you don't think of anything. Like, don't give up, keep searching. Like, how often are you asked to like dig that deep into the core of who you are? And that's why I think our coaching is so powerful, is because we take the time and we challenge our people to get to that depth. And that's going to be the thing, like I said, that sustains them long-term and forever, you know?
Absolutely. Crazy long way.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you and I, we can 100% keep talking for another like 2 hours, as we know. So last thing, if someone's on here, newly graduated in a similar position that you are, same phase of life that you are, no longer a collegiate athlete, is listening to this right now, what would be your best advice for them as they maneuver this transition, this change in their life?
I think that my best advice would be that it's okay if it's unsteady and rocky and uncomfortable for a little bit. I think that that's to be expected. And so don't feel like it's that you're the problem and that your life is just falling apart. It's going to feel different. Like I said, you go from being in the spotlight, being with teammates 24/7 to not. But I do encourage you to find a community, mm-hmm. find a community like you had a team. You always had these girls and people surrounding you and pushing you. That's something I crave. I crave community. So I think people are wired to need people. So find a community that can hold you accountable to what you want to hold on to. If it's competing, if it's just going out for coffee and socializing, if it's the social piece that you miss the most, but whatever it is, find a community. And I would like to say, find your why too. There's going to be something new that you're going to put your eggs in, a new basket. And it's okay if that changes, and it's okay if you get curious and you feel like your purpose is changing, but know that it's supposed to change, and that that community and if stop working out, if you're not practicing anymore and losing that makes you feel crappy, find someone to hold you accountable, come to GFIT and find that piece of you and don't let it go, because what gets hard is if you let that go for too long and you sit in depression and sadness for too long, it's going to be hard to get back to that. Mm. So I would say my biggest first piece of advice is to find community. Mm. I think the rest is going to be natural inside of you. You're just going to have to tap into it and know that it's going to be different, whether that you put it into your work, you put it into your life, mm-hmm. whether you put it into joining a different gym, doing CrossFit, right. whatever, something new that you compete at, make sure that you're just flexing those muscles that you love so much. If it's winning, go win at your job. Yeah. If it's winning, go win at a recreational sport.
Yeah.
Join a rec team. So, but community will be probably the most important thing for you not to feel completely empty. Uh-huh.
I love it. I'm going to add on to that because you said a couple of things. Like, it's okay if it's rocky. Like, I think a lot of people hesitate on taking that first step into something new because they're fearful of it being rocky and not going smooth. And I guess my biggest piece of advice would be to do it anyway. Do something. Do it anyway. Don't be afraid to mess up. Don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to, don't be afraid of change, or if things aren't going to work out the way you want them to, but do something. And then, yeah, community is just huge, because there's something different about feeling like you're just a part of something that's bigger than yourself. You know what I mean? And that's something that we prioritize a lot at GFIT. So I love it. Elsie, thank you so much for your time this morning. You're the freaking best. We'll have you back on here, I'm sure, many, many more times, but I love you. You are such a blessing to GFIT and to me personally. And as we close this out, was there anything, any last thoughts that you had?
Keep being elite, everyone.
Yes. I love it. Elite. Elsie, thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you, girl. Love you.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Live Limitless podcast. If you enjoyed this episode today, do us a favor and share with someone you think will benefit from it. And if you just want to show general support, you can do that by leaving us a 5-star rating if you believe it deserves it. Or you can leave us a review or any type of feedback in Apple Podcasts. We want to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out the show notes for more information or to just see how you can keep up with me on social media. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Go crush the week and live limitless.